Welcome, everybody, to Muscle Science for Women. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, drinking lots of coffee, too much coffee. That's the problem with having a really, really good sponsor that makes coffee is I legit am drinking, honestly, I'm drinking twice as much coffee as I normally do because...
You're having decaf.
It's true. And again, I think I said this in a previous episode, but it's kind of amazing to me how much... like my coffee addiction, I think is like more psychosomatic than it is caffeine based because I will literally have the decaf coffee instead of regular coffee and I don't get headaches. And I know that like decaf coffee, I think still has like a couple, like whatever it is, milligrams of caffeine. Like they can't get rid of all of it, but it's minute compared to what a normal cup of coffee has. But every time I do it, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to test this out and just have only decaf today and see if it makes any difference. And it literally doesn't, which makes me feel like the reason I have coffee every morning is just because it brings me joy. Like I know the caffeine eventually, you know, does something, but I'm like, this is purely for the pleasure and happiness that it brings me, right? I don't know.
Agreed. Sorry, I had to mute myself because Lilo is pissing me off today. She won't stop barking.
What's the problem?
I don't know. She needs some coffee. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she needs some coffee.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I do drink a little bit more coffee as well. As I'm thinking about this in terms of like afternoon, maybe instead of going for like the afternoon snack, I'm like, am I really like hungry or do I just want something that's like, you know, feels good?
Nice.
And having like an afternoon cup of decaf coffee, like whether it's iced or hot, it satisfies that, right? And, you know, I think... Yeah.
Are you a seasonal iced coffee drinker? Like now that it's getting like, I guess it's always warm where you are, but like in the summer, do you drink more iced stuff?
Honestly, not that much. Like if I'm out and it's hot and I'm like, I want something, like maybe I'll get an iced coffee. But there's just something about waking up and having a warm or a hot cup of coffee in the morning that no matter what season it is, that just does it for me.
I'm starting to think that my iced coffee habit is actually one of the few like overtly, I don't want to use the word unhealthy, but like problematic things that I do for myself because I read all the time about how like you shouldn't drink ice water, you shouldn't drink cold drinks because it's hard on your system and it makes you have to work harder. I don't know. Like I think there is some conventional wisdom that like warm drinks are more healing and easier on your system and stuff like that. And you know, I live in a place where right now where I live, it's also very humid and damp. So the cold of like spring cold with all the like rain and wind and stuff, it's actually like very bone chillingly cold here right now, even though it's April. And I still just keep doubling down and putting ice cubes in my coffee. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? But I just can't. It's like, at this point, it's literally like, that's the drink for me. Like I can't, drinking hot coffee is a different thing and I don't enjoy it. It's like for people who are obsessive coffee drinkers to be like, well, just drink tea instead. You're like, I can't, that's not the same thing. And I don't want to do it. But I literally, there's a part of my brain that's like, should I keep doing this? Like, I just feel like maybe it's not the healthiest thing to just drink freezing cold iced beverages year round. But I'd like to hear what people think. Cause I know I have a small community of folks who are with me on the iced drinks. I don't know if you've come across this in all of your like nerd health research, but I have read that like iced drinks aren't the best. And maybe some people, I don't know if it has something to do with your like cortisol or immune function or something. It's like you're more sensitive to it, but I've read that it's not ideal.
I've read that too, many different places and times. I feel like it's one of those things that's not really backed by any, you know, reputable research, but if there was reputable research to come out, then maybe I'd think about it. But at the same time, like, okay, there's so many other things that
bigger problems
need to worry about than ice coffee.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. That makes me feel a little bit better. Cause I was just like, I don't know. There's like a couple days this week where literally it's like my lips are blue. I'm like, I've got like my hoodie on.
Oh,
I'm just like drinking my stupid iced coffee because it's just what I want. Anyway, all that to say, Purity Coffee, great option, whether you like it hot or cold, whether you like it fully caffeinated, zero caffeinated, or my favorite, the 1/3 caffeinated option, because I think that's a nice middle of the road, reasonable approach. And what I really like about Purity Coffee, besides the fact that they have incredibly high standards and their coffee is super delicious and tested to have no pesticides or mold or any of that bad stuff, is that they are giving us a really good discount. So if you use our code MSW25, you get 25% off your order. So if you drink a lot of coffee, buy a bunch of bags and you're going to get a pretty hefty discount. So get on that. Thanks to Purity Coffee for supporting the podcast and helping us out so that you can get all of this wonderful content for free.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's the code? You said it?
MSW25. We also have like a direct link in the show notes that's long. I'm not going to read it out here, but you can just click that and the code will be automatically applied. But yeah, that's it. Purity Coffee. Thank you.
Sweet. Okay. I've been drinking it for 5+ years, I think, or whenever they started. I feel like it's been 5 years.
I've been missing out. I've just gotten on the bandwagon, but I'm very into it. Okay. All right. We've got some questions here. This is a question that I feel like we have answered in various different iterations, but it's a popular topic. So we're going to dive into it. Emily has written us. She's asking about the transition from cut to maintenance. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read it.
Start with what she said because it's important there. The first line there is very important.
Yeah, she says, I recently stumbled across your podcast. By recently, I mean last week, and have already listened to many episodes. I'm learning so much. Thank you. Thank you, Emily. We are so glad you stumbled across us. she's saying, I was wondering if you had advice for the transition time from a cut to maintenance. I've been cutting for the last 3 months and have about 5 weeks left to my plan until I move into maintenance. This is my second real cut and both have been successful, but I've never had a plan moving into maintenance before and would like to be more strategic this time around. I'm darn near my goal weight and my physical progress is better than I had planned at this point. I've been at a pretty aggressive deficit, but I felt good and maintained my strength training and sleep well. I'd like to maintain where I'm at, and then my next step after 5 months of maintenance will be to add about 5 pounds of muscle. I'm really looking for advice. But here are my specific questions. How gradually do I increase my caloric intake? Do I increase my caloric intake to my BMR or higher to account for the active calories I burn in my workouts? Okay. So.
Okay.
Did you follow those two questions? Yeah, I did. You start. Yep.
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to say is this is just from prior experience with myself and all the clients I've worked with is I personally think that the most important time to have a coach is during a reverse diet or coming out of a calorie deficit into maintenance because that is the time where most people are feeling good about their results, feeling good about things. And they're kind of just like, if you don't have accountability from going from a deficit back to maintenance, it can make things a lot harder in terms of what you're actually doing. And then just from like a mental standpoint. So I have found my most benefit from having a coach through that phase of, you know, the nutritional phases. But that's just me. Anyway, but we will help you out with some tips here. The first two, like for her questions, I just want to address the second question first because she said, do I increase my caloric intake to be my BMR or higher to account for the active calories I burn in my workouts?
Metabolic rate.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yes. I would just not even think about any of that, to be honest. I would think about the things that we're going to talk about. So I'm just going to throw that question out. Is that okay? Am I allowed to do that?
Because necessarily what you need to be focusing on. Yeah,
exactly. Focus on the other things, right? So the other question she had is how gradually do I increase my calorie intake? Simple answer here is that it is really coming back to like the person too. So everything comes back to you as an individual and kind of what's, you know, if you've gone through previous cuts before and you've learned from like you said, you've learned from those, right? So take what you've learned from those previous times and just say like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm either not doing certain things that didn't work, you know, or things that did work, I'm including. So the biggest thing with coming out of a cut and going to maintenance, we call it kind of like a reverse diet. A lot of people have heard that, oh, you can only increase your calories in very small increments or else you're going to gain all the weight back. Technically, you could go right back to your maintenance intake and not gain any weight back because the definition of maintenance is maintenance, right? You're not gaining or losing, you're just maintaining. That's the simple way of putting it. Obviously simple, like kind of that broad simplicity can be very intrinsic. Is that the right word? If we kind of dive a little deeper into it, you're giving me, Ashley's giving me starting to lose you. Okay. Reverse. Basically, maintenance is your maintain your weight, right? So getting back to maintenance, you could increase your calories, you know, right back to your maintenance calories and be at maintenance right after a cut. But what is your actual maintenance? Ashley has a question.
Yes. So I think one of the issues there that people would say is like, if I was at a cut for 3 to 5 months and I lost 10 pounds or 12 pounds or 15 pounds or whatever, my maintenance calories are probably going to be less now because I weigh less.
Yes. So they'll be a bit less, right? And so this is why we do tend to recommend more of like a slower increase, not like, oh, I can only add 10 calories a week or something like that. But I typically recommend bumping it up to maybe just at least getting out of the deficit. So bumping it up a few hundred calories and then gradually increasing over the course of the next few weeks until you start to see things kind of leveling out. And so the reason I say this is because people are like, a lot of people have maybe heard like, oh, I don't even need to go through a reverse diet anymore. I can just put my calories right back to maintenance. But as Ashley just mentioned, what is maintenance now that you've lost maybe 10 pounds, right? It's going to be a bit lower. So my advice would be to, like I said, have an initial bump, maybe like an initial bump of, it depends on you as a person, but for most people, it's like initial bump of like 300 to 400 calories to just get you out of that deficit. And then increase from there as you are paying attention to, you know, if you're using the scale as a metric, if you're using body measurements, things like that, paying attention to all those things through the full, you know, that full reverse. And then besides that, I would say that the biggest mistake I see people make is that they start to change up everything that they're doing, right? They come out of the cut and they're like, I've hit my goal. Now I can bring back in all these foods that I was eating before the cut. And that's where we get in trouble. Cause it's like, oh, well, if I'm trying to maintain my results, the easiest thing you can do is just keep doing what you're doing, keep eating the same foods, but just increase the quantities of them, right? That will make your life so much easier, right? So if you've been eating similar breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Obviously, you don't have to eat the same exact foods, but instead of completely swapping out and switching up your meal plan, first of all, that's just going to make it more confusing and stressful, right? That's not practical. Just think about, okay, if I'm having 2 eggs for breakfast and whatever, I don't know, 2 sausage links, that's, and whatever else, I don't know. I'm really like not good today in terms of brain function. But if you're having 2 eggs for breakfast along with other things, maybe you bump it up to 3 eggs and some whatever else you're consuming. But think about like the increase in quantity of the foods you're already eating versus changing everything up. And then also you still want to pay attention to like your movement, right? You can't just go from 11,000 steps a day at the end of your cut to like 4,000 steps, right? You have to continue to pay attention to like those different metrics because that's all going to play into like your total daily calorie intake and all that stuff and expenditure. So yeah, brain is not working very efficiently today. So Ashley, you want to chime in here?
your brain at working at sub maximum efficiency is still better than most people's, including mine. So give yourself a break. I would say like just to echo the food thing though, and that's something I've definitely done, but a lot of times when people do, to your point, they're like, well, I've just been so restrictive for 3 months and I want to add these foods back in, and I get why you want to, but generally those foods you're adding in tend to be foods that maybe are more processed, maybe higher in carbs, maybe slightly less healthy. And what also can happen, not that you're going to gain 5 pounds of fat in a week, but maybe you have a little water retention, maybe you get a little bloated or something, and then you're automatically getting this negative feedback that's going to spiral you and be super negative. So it's not to say that you can never, if you're adding dairy back in or more complex, like carbs or something, whatever, but like, yeah, you want to do this in like a progressive, slow, gradual fashion instead of like, my cut's done today, tomorrow I'm going to eat like a bag of chips and two, you know what I mean? Like, so I think there's like mental elements of this too, that you just, you need to remember that, like, if you're doing this process that involves cutting, maintenance, reverse cutting, like muscle building, cutting, like this whole kind of cyclical thing, that it may feel like the hard part is the cutting, but there's still, you got to keep going. You got to keep plugging away at it. It's not over. It's not, you can't relax really at the end. You still have work to do. It's just different kind of work. And there's a reason, we've said it a million times and everybody knows this to be true, there is a reason that maintenance is actually the hardest part. Like eating more, for most of us, eating a little more and like busting our ass in the gym is fun. For most people, cutting is, you know, challenging at first, and you get into a rhythm and it is what it is. But maintenance and figuring that out and trying to like live there easily is actually incredibly challenging. So that's the place where we should actually probably be putting the most sort of mental work and effort into, because the other two phases are just like follow a plan and follow it consistently and you're going to get results. But maintenance, you need to like, you need to be on top of it. People think that's the chill out phase and it's not.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And last thing I'll say too, is just like, make sure you are continuing to track the metrics too, because it is absolutely normal to see that scale jump up, you know, a few pounds right after you come out of your cut. If you think about it, at the end of your cut, you're most depleted, right? You're most depleted of just general calories, carbs, like you've lost probably a good amount of water weight. And so when you do increase your calories coming off of that, if you see the scale go up, it doesn't mean that you've automatically gained fat, right? It means that you're eating potentially just more calories. So you have more food in your stomach. So that shows up, maybe more fiber. Of course, if you're eating more carbs, then carbs hold on to water, so the water weight goes up a little bit. That, and these are all mental things that are very hard to come to terms with. And so that's again why I'm just kind of going back to what I said. Like, if you are someone who struggled with this in the past, like coming out of a cut in the past, if you're trying to go about it alone and you don't have any support or any accountability or someone who can kind of like be like, hey, yeah, like you're, this is right, like you're doing this, this is what's supposed to happen, or this is okay. If you don't have that feedback, sometimes you can get in your own head and like screw yourself up. And I'm saying this from experience. So again, it's just kind of like, if you've done this in the past several times and you haven't gotten the results or been able to maintain the results, maybe we have to look at it like having a coach or, you know, joining a program, something like that, just to like have some of that feedback that you might be missing from like the mental side of things. Or this thing that we say is like, what's the saying? Like doing the same thing over and over again is the definition of insanity.
Expecting a different result. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. All right, cool. We have a question here about a herniated disc. Do you want to dive into it? You again are more on top of the back injury stuff and rehab. So
yes. Okay. Are we reading this?
I'll try to maybe like make this more succinct. Sabrina, she started listening to our podcast earlier this year and it's helped. That's great. But she's having a bit of a tough go this year. She's a physically active 42-year-old mom of two. She teaches yoga. She does a personal practice, lots of yoga, some cardio. She says she builds muscle really easy. So that's great. Good for you. She suffered a herniated disc in 2016 in the lumbar region. It's been sensitive. She has rotator cuff pains affecting different tendons in both shoulders. She's using physio to work on that. She says knees are just being bit, which I know there's probably lots of people in their 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond listening. They're like, yeah, I hear you. So she was downhill skiing in January. She had a back injury. She didn't feel too bad. So she kept, this is also a very common story. I think she just kept going through her normal life, did a power yoga class and really feels like she injured it. She's had four relapses, even though she's not doing any exercise now. She's been to the hospital. MRI confirmed it was a herniated disc in the lumbar region. So again, I think a repeat. So she's got like a lot going on. She's basically walking,
shoulder doing stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Just continual, mild stretches. Not doing much. She's upped her collagen, consuming some bone broth, focusing on anti-inflammatory foods. She's on pain meds. She's thinking she wants to start yoga again in May. And she just wants general tips and advice. So she's got a doctor. She has an osteo. She's starting physio again. She just wants to, you know, have her functional fitness back and not be in pain.
Yeah.
And I understand. That's a lot. She's going through a lot.
Absolutely. So I'm just reading this one line. She said, I'm thinking I may all start yoga again, but I know I will need to strengthen up to prevent these things from happening again. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, this kind of just gives me a little bit of like, hey, take our shoulder program, because everything that is mentioned in this email about shoulders is like screaming to me that, yeah, you know, there probably are some things that you can do differently in the future to help strengthen some of these areas. I know, like she said, that there's some lumbar, obviously the herniated disc, but then she said some tendons in her shoulders. So I think that, first of all, I'm just going to say, like, hey, we have a new shoulder program that goes into exactly this. It's like, how do we become educated on how to train our shoulders so that we don't have these nagging tendons and ligaments and, you know, all these things that typically show up over time if you're someone who has been training for a while and you have kind of these like reoccurring things, right? We teach you how to train properly to avoid this and how to strengthen all those muscles in that shoulder area to help with that. So, you know,
which then
shameless
also
plug.
In turn can help with the back issues and stuff.
Exactly.
Too. So, yeah.
So, and also our glutes program can also help with that too. So just shameless plug there. Like there are, we've taken a lot of time to put together a lot of these things within the programs that we just can't, like we can't just give all those things as tips on the podcast because it would literally take hours and hours and hours. So that's the first thing I'll say. The second thing is, I do think that, well, I'm gonna let you go. You tell us your thoughts, because I just feel like I mean, Kanye over here talking.
I don't really have, much to add. I mean, again, we only know what she told us in the email, and it does sound a little bit like she's probably a very type A, maybe doing a little too much kind of person. And, you know, I don't want to be the bummer who's like, you should just slow down or whatever. But like, it does seem like some of the injuries were happening because you were kind of persisting through other nagging injuries, and you know, do a ton of physical activity to the point now where you're injured and you can't do any, which sucks. Right. So there is sort of an element of, you know, the strengthening and the physio and the taking the time off and eating the proper foods and all of that. And I'm not saying like, look, 42 is not old. I'm not saying like, settle down and just only walk for the rest of your life or something. But there is maybe an element as you rehab and you get stronger and you decide what you want your physical expression part of your life to be, that there maybe needs to be a different kind of balance and a different kind of prioritization of, again, functional pain-free movement versus doing everything all the time, right? Yeah. So that's like one kind of general high level, you know, I know it's no one likes to hear that, but it's just what I'm getting from the emails. I'm like, you're a very busy, very active person who does a ton, and it seems like you did too much, and that's where the injuries are coming from. So something to think about.
Yeah, agreed. I think maybe just, and this is what me and Ashley both talk about too, like more is not always better, but better is better, right? So finding, like, if you can find a program that gives you some structure that allows you to kind of get back into things with having a little bit more of that, you know, proper training, but not too much. And also something that can give you a little bit more excitement too, right? Not just going back to what you're doing before, but something that's maybe a little bit new, right? That can also help with kind of like the motivation side of things. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I would recommend too. And just, you know, giving yourself a little grace in terms of like realizing that your body might be fighting back against you a little bit. So just kind of making sure that that's something that you do pay attention to and you don't overdo it. And of course, all the things we talk about, nutrition, recovery, paying attention to all those things. No,
and it sounds
all,
like she's doing a yeah. lot of it, right? Like you sound yeah. like you've got a good team. You're like on top of these things. You're mm-hmm. proactive. You're eating properly. Like you're asking the right questions. You're doing the right things. You just have to keep doing it and be consistent and know that it's probably going to take longer than you want it to because these things always do. Mm-hmm. But it's more important that you do it properly than you do it quickly because doing it quickly is what's going to lead to more injuries and eventually an injury that could be life altering, you know, and we don't want that. But yeah, I mean the overall strengthening, rehab and nourishing your body, I think are what you got to do and just keep at it because it's obviously worth it and you'll get back to it because you're somebody, it looks like who's been physically active mm-hmm. and cared about this stuff forever. So you will get back to it, especially if you do it smart.
Agreed.
All right. What else? So I guess we're getting pretty close to the end. Is there any...
Yeah, I think that's...
Okay. You haven't seen anything on the internet that you want to rant about? Like I usually, at the end of every episode, I'm like, hey, I saw this. I'm becoming like an old person. I'm like, I saw this reel and I hated it. And I'm going to tell you about it. I don't know.
I mean, the typical like stuff that comes out right before summer, right? It's like, 4-week challenge, get ripped abs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I was actually just talking to a colleague friend the other day. Do you know who Chris Irvin, you know who Chris Irvin is, right? The
yeah.
ketologist. Yeah. He's like your age, which is to say a couple years younger than me. Boo, young people, you're the worst. But we were talking about you know, because we both have kids kind of the same age and we were talking and he's just had like an injury, whatever. And I was telling him, you know, that I'm older and he's like, anyway, we were basically talking about how it sucks to be in a situation where you feel like you have to crash diet or do something like, cause you're going on vacation or because the summer's coming and you know, you're going to be in a bikini. And it's like every time around the spring, you get into this thing. And of course, everybody online is marketing this to you that it's like, oh, here we go. Like you've got a couple more weeks. Like what could you be if you started now or whatever? And it's like, wouldn't it be great if we just kind of taught like lifestyle behaviors that you don't feel like you have to crash diet before you go to the beach, or you don't feel like you have to hardly eat anything for a month before your vacation so you can go binge on vacation, you know? Like, wouldn't it be just nice if we taught this more like long-lasting, like true way of being instead of this stupid... But I mean, that doesn't... Again, it doesn't sell. It doesn't make money. So no one's going to click on a reel that says like, hey, just kind of take care of yourself. That's it, guys.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, well.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's all we've got. But if you want us to answer some questions or, you know, talk about something that we haven't talked about yet... send us a message. You know how to reach us. We're on Instagram. We're there. You can also send us an email at musclescienceforwomen@gmail.com. It's number 4. We read our emails and we love them. So send us something nice or funny. Remember I asked a while ago and I didn't get any. So you guys, I know you send us emails. So you guys are listening to this podcast, but remember we were talking about, there was an episode where you talked about how you, it was like embarrassing, I don't know, fitness stuff. And you talked about like you dropped a weight on your foot.
Oh yeah.
And I may have told, I don't remember the story that I told, but it may have been about my wedding dress busting open right before the wedding and my whole butt coming out. Yeah. So like we told some stories. So we'd love for you to share, I don't know, like something embarrassing that happened to you at the gym or like a fitness story that's funny or something. Like I love those podcasts. I listen to podcasts where like listeners write in about like funny stories related to the podcast content. And I love that stuff. So get creative with us, guys. Have a good time. Send us a funny email. We want to be entertained too. Okay. It's reciprocal.
Come on.
Right.
And sign up for our programs.
Do that too. rgfit.com/shoulders is the big one. Cause that will probably be out by the time this podcast is out. But they exist forever, right? So they're always there. You can take the shoulders one, which is new and hot. You can take the glutes one, which is always hot because glutes. And then we've got our flagship program, which is the most comprehensive and best. They're
Muscle
all
Science
available.
For women.
That's right. Okay.
Sweet.
Until next time, let's go, I don't know, caffeinate some more or something.
Let me go eat some food.
As always. That's always what we're doing when we get off these podcasts, by the way, literally always.
I mean, these are like, it's hard. I need some fuel.
Yeah, it's true. So
for my brain.
Don't do stupid shit, guys.
Don't be insane.
Bye.
Bye.